Hey everyone, today we're going to talk about property management teams. You know, in my real estate investing career, I've learned that one of the biggest tools you can use to leverage your time and energy is a great property management team. But I also know that finding a company that is a good fit is easier said than done. So today, I'm going to share all of my best secrets on property management. We're going to talk about the nitty-gritty and how hiring the right company is imperative, what your role is when you're overseeing a property management company, and the questions to ask, the red flags, how to build a strong relationship, and so much more. Now, before we get into the details, be sure to subscribe to our channel and turn on the bell notification for great investing tips so you'll be notified when we post a new video. All right, let's talk about property management, and let's start with hiring. Now, at Morris Invest, my company, we've already vetted property management teams for our clients, but if you're starting from scratch, you're going to have to do a little legwork yourself. Make some phone calls and find about 3 to 5 companies that you'd like to interview. Very simple to do a Google search and find a few that you're going to get a hold of and make a phone call to those people. It's imperative to get on the phone. That's why we're such big advocates of using the phone, because you can learn a lot about a person when you talk to them. Here are a few questions to ask. Number one, how do you screen your tenants that are going to stay in the properties? What screening mechanisms do you have in place to let me know that I've got a great tenant or a dud of a tenant who's not going to pay their rent? Number two, what percentage of rent can I expect to pay you monthly? So if your property makes $1,000, are you paying 8%, 9%, 10%, 12% to the property management company? What percentage of the monthly rent will you pay to the property management company? They're doing a great job. They should get paid, but it's important to know how much. Number three, what other types of fees might I expect? Are there any sort of other hidden fees? If there's a maintenance request, do I have to pay a fee when you go and make a fix on the property or change a toilet or a gasket breaks in the middle of the night? What sorts of things do you have to pay in order to make sure that they're taking care of these properties? And next, what's your preferred communication method, and how quickly will you return my calls or my messages? And how quickly will you respond to my tenants' requests? You know, are you guys using email only, or do you get on the phone and let me know what's happening with my property? Do you send text alerts? Do you use a software system? How do you communicate? These are all incredibly important questions to ask a property management company. Next on the list, how do you handle a tenant turnover? We will all have a tenant turnover. When a tenant leaves a property, they move, they transfer school districts, they upgrade, they want to, you know, they have a baby and they need more space. You're going to have a tenant that leaves a property. So how do you handle a tenant turnover? What is the process for then cleaning the property out, getting the carpets clean, cleaning the floors, et cetera, painting if it needs painting, and then screening and putting out new tenants in the property? How do you handle that? Next question to ask them, what is your role during an eviction process? I've had evictions, not a lot of them, but you might have an eviction from time to time. If you're a real estate investor and you've got 100 properties, you're going to have an eviction at some point. I'm just telling you it's going to happen. So what is their role during the eviction process to get that tenant out of the property? Now, we like to invest in landlord-friendly markets where the tenant can be removed from the property rather quickly. That's why we invest in landlord-friendly states like Texas and Missouri and other places like that. If you go to a non-landlord-friendly state like California, New Jersey, New York, that tenant could end up staying there for a year or longer, not paying. And that's why we like to avoid investing in those states. And here's one of my favorite questions to ask a property management company, a potential property management company that you're going to work with. How do your vacancy rates compare to the market's overall rates? So let's talk about this market. Let's say you're in a city like Lubbock, Texas, or other areas, and the vacancy rate is very, very low. Well, then if the property management company's vacancy rate is 2 times higher, then that's a red flag. That's a problem, right? So I want my vacancy rate for my properties in this property management team to even be lower than, or at least on par with what we're currently seeing in the overall market. Very, very important to know the vacancy rate, and how long would that property sit vacant after a tenant moves out during a tenant turnover? Is it going to be 1 week, a few weeks when they're marketing the property, screening for a new tenant, they want to get the right person in there, or will it sit vacant for many, many months? Like, these are all questions that I would want to know the answers to. Now, here's what I'd consider green flags to look for when you're interviewing a property management company. Strong communication. When it comes to property management, communication is key. You want to work with a team that will not only respond to your requests in a timely manner, but will also ensure that they're available to your tenant, because you're essentially, look, you're the customer service team, right? And you want them to be able to handle it. If the tenant has a problem, has a leaky toilet at 2 a.m, they want to be able to get a response pretty quickly. Also, thorough background check process. These are green flags. Typically, you want them to conduct a criminal background check, a credit check, and take a look into their employment history. Are these people that never are employed, they have a criminal background, and they don't pay their rent? This is a problem. It's up to you what type of tenants you'd like to accept in your property. And you might say, I'm going to give all of the people in the world the best shot possible to stay in my properties. Great. Well, that's up to you. But it's important that your property manager at least looks into these different screening processes and decides who is best for this property. Very, very important. Otherwise, you could be sitting there with a vacant property for many, many months if you don't take that up. Number three, digital portal. You should be able to log in somewhere, into some kind of software, see your banking info, see your leases and maintenance. Look, this isn't 1993 anymore, guys. We're on the internet. So I should be able to log into a portal. I should be able to see my properties that my property manager is managing. Let's see if last month there was a maintenance request. They had to go out to the property and fix an air conditioning unit or fix a leaky faucet or something like that. Or see the cash flow, the property, the rent flowing into this property. Also see the lease agreements. If I need to get a copy of my lease very quickly, I can just log into the portal and see it. You need this stuff. This is how you keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening at your property. They should absolutely, in the year 2023 and beyond, have digital software that allows you to access your portal. All right, here's some property management red flags that I want to go over. Long vacancies. Now, I know you've done your market research, so you shouldn't have long vacancies in a proven market, right? Right? A strong property management team should be able to fill vacancies within a few months at least. So ask about their track record. And sometimes it might take longer to place the right tenant who might stay for 5 years. I'm willing to have a property sit vacant for a little bit longer as long as I'm going to have a tenant in there who's the right tenant who's going to stay a long time. So ask about their track record. What are your track record on vacancies? I'd love to hear it. Next, are they always unavailable? Are they too busy to take your phone calls, get back to you in a timely manner? If they're seemingly unavailable or too busy, that is a red flag. I would stay away from that company. Next, is their pricing inconsistent with the market rates? Why are you charging me so much more than the three other companies I've called? What's going on here? Something is a little fishy. Next up, no policies or plans to deal with vacancies, evictions, or et cetera. So they don't really have a policy. They just kind of deal with it and they kind of wing it. I wouldn't want to be there with that property management company. Next up, not enough experience or knowledge in the market. You know, history is important, and we won't work with a company unless they have at least 5 years experience in a particular market. That means they don't know how rents will change, what streets are better, what neighborhoods provide better rents, etc. And also, another red flag, they have an excessive fee schedule, all sorts of hidden fees and things they're charging you for, nickel and diming you. That to me is a red flag. Next, how to manage and oversee your property management team. This is vitally important. You should be checking in regularly with them, but allow them to do their job. You don't want to be micromanaging them. Otherwise, you might as well be managing the property yourself. But it is important to check in with them from time to time. Don't accept poor behavior and poor performance excuses. If they continually tell you why they can't communicate with you, they can't get back to you on time, they're continually performing poorly, that's time to fire that property management company and move to a better one. Next, approve requests when asked. My personal philosophy entails giving them the green light to fix things under a certain dollar amount. That's totally up to you. Is it $100? Is it $200? I don't need to have you ask me to go fix a towel rack or a toilet or a leaky faucet because you're worried that I wouldn't approve it. Just look, if it's under $200 or maybe for you, it could be under $500, you could just approve it. Whatever you want, just say, go ahead and do it. Charge me later for it. Make sure it's in my digital portal so I can see if there was a maintenance request that needed fixing, but I approve it. You don't have to call me to approve these little fiddly things. Next, don't try to adjust pricing on your own. Your property manager should have a strong understanding of what's going on in the rental rate. And that's very appropriate. So I can't stand it when a property manager tells you that property, given that street and that school district, should rent for $1,100 a month. And then you as the owner come in and say, nope, I want to charge $1,500 a month. Great. That's the stupidest thing you can do, because that property is now going to sit vacant. No one's going to rent that property. If they're telling you that the exact same property on that same street in that same school district, other properties have just rented for $1,100 a month, why would you try to artificially change the price to $1,500 a month? It's going to sit vacant. And then you'll blame the property manager, but they know the rates going on that street. So don't step in and try to micromanage them in that way. Next up, they should be taking care of paperwork in a timely manner. This is very important for a property manager. And remember how important they are to your success. So treat them with respect. They are human beings after all. But all of these things, red flags, green flags, and questions to ask, are vitally important for you to have success with a property management company. So thanks so much for watching. Make sure you check out all the links below in our description, and we'll see you next time.